But now is the time for you to follow me, for you to fulfill the purpose that is within you. Now is the time. No delay, no delay, no delay. For I am coming back, and I'm going to receive a people that has a heart for me. So now is the time to get things in order, says the Lord. Now is the time to get priorities in order, says the Lord. Now is the time to obey me. For you see, there is no time to waste. There is no time to waste. I am returning. And you do not know when that hour is. Only the Father knows. But I will return. So now is the time to get things right. Now is the time to do all that you know that you've been told to do. Ever since you were born again. Ever since you came to me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Now is the time. No delay, no delay, no delay. No more, no more, no more, no more. Now is the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Help us to know. Help us to know, even though we don't understand. Help us to know, Lord God, that now is the time that you are going to do what you said you're going to do. Oh, Jesus, for such a pull to do right, such a pull to be holy in your sight, such a pull in this hour to obey your word, and we will go in power. Such a pull, such a pull, such a pull in this hour. For souls to come in. And for us to lay our hands on the sick and see them recover. And for marriages and relationships to be restored and people to be restored unto you, Lord God. There's such a pull, such a pull, such a pull in this hour for us to obey and then go in your power. Saints, do you sense the pull to do right? To do right. To do right. Oh, Jesus, help us. Help us to do right. All for eternal purposes. All for eternal purposes. All for eternal purposes. You know, you never know what God has in store. That's why we have to trust Him. That's why we have faith. A couple of weeks ago, I went to a conference in Denver. This woman came up to me. They had invited me to come early to fellowship with the pastors in the hospitality room. So I was there. I was talking with a brother that a pastor I had known. And this woman came up to me. I saw her come in. She kind of caught my eye, but I didn't know who she was. I didn't think. She came up to me, and she put her arms around me. She said, Lenore, I don't know that you know me. She said, but years ago, in 1983 or 1984, we're not sure which one, you brought a group of ladies to Denver, to Marilyn Hickey's church, and Daisy Osborne was preaching. And I looked at her and I said, Susan Whitfield. She said, yes. She said, we formed a relationship with Pastor Billy Wayne and Becky this past June. Had never met them before, and they went out to their condo and fellowshipped, and somehow our name came up, and she said, I know them. How are they? Pastor J.B. Whitfield, they live in North Carolina, Clemens, North Carolina. That's where they lived back in 1984. And I said, I remember you coming to our church. I remember the sermon that Pastor J.B., we were on the corner of 11th and Elm. I remember the sermon that he preached was digging up the root. I don't know why I remember that. Maybe it was right what I needed at that time. It was digging up the root. That was the title of Pastor J.B. Whitfield's sermon. They came in. It was either on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. I can't remember. They left. And it was unusual that we didn't have contact, because we usually keep in contact with people that we come in and into relationship with and into contact, but we never did. We had not seen them. And so she said, "This is Pastor JB. Pastor JB came over, gave me a hug, and we lifted. And I said, you know, do you remember how I came to know you?" And I said, "No, all I remember is our ladies were at this Marilyn Hickey conference, and Susan and her friend were next door to us, and we came all together in our room, and we prayed. Some of you remember that. Miss Vicki, you remember it. Dallas, I think you were there. Miss Ruby Oberheim was there. We had a bunch of people." And Pastor J.B. Whitfield said, he said, "I'd gone into ministry. They started their church in 1982, and we started ours in 1983. I said, now I know why we didn't keep in contact. We were all too busy. We didn't know what we were doing. You know, when they came through, then they ministered, and we were all so busy trying to get the churches going and trying to follow God and wading through this that we just didn't keep in contact." And he said, "But I went to a Rhema meeting," and he said, "I was young in ministry, and I had to have five answers when I went. I said, Lord, you have got to show me these five things, or I cannot go on in ministry." And he said, the last night of the conference, it was a friend of theirs, and he thought, "Oh, I'll get him now, because this man knows me, if nothing else. God doesn't show him, he'll tell me what I need." And he said, nothing happened. And he walked out. He was supposed to walk right down the aisle, but instead he and Susan turned. They're about our age. They're, I think, 58, 59. And he went another way. And he said, about the time he got to the back of the sanctuary, a man stepped out and said, "I believe I have a word for you." And he went, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he said, "I have never met you, but my name is Gary Don Newman." And J.B., Pastor J.B. began to weep in that hospitality room with the speakers and the guests. And he said, "Relationships, he saved my ministry." Now I share that because of what I'm going to preach on tonight, fellowship, and how we so need fellowship. Never saw Pastor again this side of heaven. But fellowship, relationship, worship, fulfilling purpose. Because a man from Western Kansas was tuned in to the things of God and had been in his presence and heard from God. A man that was about to get out of ministry and throw everything away that he was called to do. God spared him because of somebody that had been in his presence. Amen? Eternal things. Eternal things. That's what it's all about. Now, we're not just here for the here and now. We're headed somewhere. We're headed somewhere in this earth, but we're headed somewhere in heaven. It's all about eternity. So we have to prepare ourselves. And today, as I was praying, I thought, you know, if we don't like to worship Him, we're not going to like heaven. But that's all we're going to be doing, is worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we can't do that now, if we can't get in our prayer closet, if we can't get in our bedroom, if we can't get in our office, if we can't get on our knees before Him and worship Him now, well, honey, you may just want to go the way of the world, because you're not going to like heaven. Amen? Because in heaven, we're going to be worshiping Him. He wants that fellowship, that intimacy with us now. So you never know, because of you staying in His presence, because you fulfilling purpose, because of you worshiping Him and being intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ, you never know what you will have done this side of eternity. I thought after 4 years, is that right? 22 years. For God to bring me across Pastor J.B. and Susan Whitfield's path was just a God thing. And for me to know what He said. All about obeying God. All about obeying God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. You may greet someone, you may sit down. for the sake of eternity. And it can be so frustrating sometimes when you know those things. And you want it to happen right now. There's a plan and there's a purpose. When I was at the conference, Jerry Savelle preached on the art of waiting at a minister's luncheon one day that we had, and it was tremendous. He wasn't even really talking. I mean, he was talking about spiritual things, but talked about us not running ahead. And, you know, sometimes you want to. You just want to make things happen because you see so much. You see so many hurting people, and you see so much that needs to be done right here in Garden City, Kansas. You see people without hope. You see people without God. You know, last week when Brother Gary Batt was here, wow, how timely. How timely. He could say things that I couldn't say. I could have said, but it wouldn't have been received. Why? Because I know things in the natural. He said things that Pastor Jeff couldn't have shared because he knows things in the natural. But this man came in and he read everybody's mail. How many of you are just getting right real quick? Amen? Get kind of squirmy when he started over near you, didn't we? He was so precise. That's what happens when you stay in the presence of God. It could save a man's life. It could save a man's ministry on the East Coast. That's what happens. That's the way he wants us to live. I'm not saying that he's always right. But those things we need to take to heart. When God sends someone like that, whether it's Gary Batt, whether it's Pastor Jeff, whether it's me, whoever it is, take those things to heart. And I try not to get preachy in the things that I know in the natural. Sometimes that's why I don't want to know stuff. You know, people want to tell me their problems. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Got so much stuff I wouldn't remember them anyway. You know? But that's what happens when the presence of God fills the place. He deals with hearts. All for purpose. All for purpose. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Take our Bibles. This is my Bible. This is the Word of God. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Tonight I'm going to be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. And I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'm going to be changed. And I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you believe that? Amen. Well, this morning, we're continuing on fulfilling your purpose. This morning, we talked about worship, staying in His presence. And then when we come into this place, then we're going to have signs and wonders, miracles that follow. Amen? Amen. Ministries will be saved, just like that I shared with you what happened in 1980. I think it was 84 when they came through. But I still remember the title of his message. And they have a large church, J.B. Whitfield. He ministered to me. He was there as a guest, and he ministered one day during the school of, whatever it's called, school of ministry. And he ministered to me. He had a word from the Lord for me. And I received it. Hallelujah. Amen. So I don't know why all of that. I don't know why God places us and puts us in positions and places where He does at times. But I do know that it's all for His purpose. It's all for His purpose. And so that's why we have to obey, to go, where He asks us to go and to do what He asks us to do, to stay when He tells us to stay. You know, if you're supposed to be here, then you better not run off to Africa just because you want to go. Because you're on dangerous ground. But if He tells you to go, and you say no, and you stay here, then you're on dangerous ground. Amen? But we're not going to know that. We're not going to know His voice. We can't understand Him and we can't hear Him if we're not in His presence and if we don't worship Him. It's just so important. I just can't get away. I can't get away from that, from the worship part of being in His presence. You know, we as Americans are very task-oriented. I still can be if I'm not careful. Because I like things neat and tidy and, you know, and I'm trying to get there at my house. Brother, some places look like a hurricane went through it, but I'm getting there, weeding out, getting rid of stuff, making the way light. Amen. Now, where was I going with that thought? Anyway, pardon me, task oriented. We can be task oriented. To where we do this and this and this and this, and we can't be flexible. But you know, in part of that task, and there's nothing wrong with that, but in part of that task, you better have room for God in there. You better have Him as the first fruits of your day. Because if not, He'll be left out. I know. Been there, done that. Well, but I just don't have time. Well, then get up a little earlier. Eat for 30 minutes and pray for the next 30. You do have time. We all have the same amount of time, and that's not going to change. There's 24 hours in a day. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are we going to worship Him? Are we going to give Him the first fruits of our day? Yeah, we have all of our routines in the natural. But what are we doing with God in that schedule? Amen? Okay. Well, say okay. Okay. Let's turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25. Oh, it's just in me tonight. Matthew 25, verse 31. Talking about judgment on the nations. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand. Okay, right hand is what? Sheep. But the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, the right hand is what? Sheep. Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when were you hungry? Is basically what he's saying. And we fed thee, or thirsty, and we gave you drink. When were you a stranger and we took you in, or naked and we clothed thee? Or when were you sick and or in prison and came to thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then he shall say to those on his left hand, who is what? Goats, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that for the anointing that's upon the word. I pray, Father, that we would all have ears to hear. and hearts to receive what you're saying to us as a part of the body of Christ and as Word of Life Church. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are called to do for others. And I'm not going to re-preach that sermon. I've preached already on servanthood. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to help in a time of need. Amen? One thing that people look for when they are looking for a church is how much do the people care? How much do they care? If they don't care, then why should I go there? Because I can be in the world and be kicked around like a dog and be okay, so they think. So why should I go into a church where they profess Christianity and I'm still treated the same way? When I have a need and they can't help to meet that need. Prayer, yes, but sometimes there comes a natural thing. You have to give of yourself. And what is servanthood spelled? T-I-M-E. Amen. Because anytime, saints, that we do anything, we do it as unto the Lord. That'll make you sit up and think, won't it? Anytime you do anything, you do it. You should do it as unto the Lord. If someone is hungry, what do? You give them food. If they're thirsty, you give them a drink. If they need clothes, you clothe them. We have to give. It means laying our life aside, all for the sake of others. Why? All for purpose. So people, when they look for a church, they're looking for a people who care. They want to know, how much do we care? Or is this just a bunch of hot air that we preach, about the nations and about a people outside these four walls that are lost and without hope and are going to hell? Do we really care when they come and need help? When people in our own body are hurting because of circumstances in their life, because of a bump in the road, what are we going to do about it? Yes, we can pray, but there's another natural side of ministry. Amen? People want to know how much we care. They want to know how much we love. Are we obedient to do the Word? If we tell people, I'll call you, do we? I know stuff. I hear stuff. Where's so-and-so? Oh, so-and-so was supposed to give him a call and they never did, so he's not coming. Now, I know that's an offense and it shouldn't be. But think about what we're portraying. We're different. You know what it is? It's a lie. If you tell somebody that you're going to do something and you don't, you're a liar. That's right. Amen? Oh, it's just a little white lie. No, a lie is a lie. Big or little. So unless you can keep your word or you can call and say, I'm sorry, I can't be there, or I'm sorry, I can't do that, but I'm going to send so-and-so, then don't tell them you're going to do it. Because the world doesn't understand that. You know, I've told you before that that sort of thing almost kept my daddy out of heaven. It did. Almost kept him out of heaven. Because he would have never done that to people. But yet he saw Christians, Christ-like ones, not keeping their word. Can we stop and think, folks? So when we tell somebody we're going to do something, do it. Just do it. Count the cost before you say you're going to do it. You know, there's a cost to be counted. We have to count the cost in everything that we do. Count the cost. Can you follow through on that? And if we can't, then say, you know, I would love to come and minister to you, but my schedule won't allow it. But I'll get someone to do that. You know, I had a situation this week. I had Velma Dill on my heart, and so I called her daughter. And I said, well, can I come over some evening, some afternoon on my way home from work? Well, we've got therapy. She's got this. And I said, okay, when would be a good time? She said, Saturday. And you know what? At first I went, because I know what my Saturdays are like. I said, okay, I'll be there Saturday. So I wrote myself a note because you know what? I would have forgotten. And so on my sticky note, on the center of my desk, it said, Velma Dill. I knew what it meant. That I was to go visit her on Saturday. So when I left here, I stopped by her house and visited her. She said, oh, I've been waiting for you to come. Whoa. What if Pastor had forgotten? Little things. Just little things that mean so much to people. That maybe, oh, well, I didn't see her yesterday. I'll stop by tomorrow. It's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. When you tell someone you're going to do something and you don't do it, it's a big deal. For those especially that are outside the church looking in at us, are we who we say we are? Are we different from them? Are we going to fulfill on a word that we told them we would do? It could be a little thing like visitation. I know you're looking at me saying, well, where is this going? Well, we'll get there. Just hang with me. Amen? So we need to keep our word. We need to be people of the word. We need to keep our word and we need to do the word. Amen? Why would people want to fellowship with us if we're that undisciplined? If we're not doing what we say that we proclaim, why would they want anything different than what they have? See, it's all about purpose. It's all about eternity. Acts 2:42. Remember, we read that this morning about the early church, the breaking of bread, the apostles' doctrine, prayer, and fellowship. What do you think about when you think of fellowship? Give me a word. Food. I knew that was number one. That's number one in my notes. Food. You think about food, don't you? Fellowship. You think about shopping with friends. Retreats. It's a man's thing. Why do you think we have fellowship hall? What do we do there? We fellowship. Usually around what? Food. Amen. That's true. But you know, in the New Testament, the word fellowship means a communion. A communion. A participation of people coming together in God's grace. Having something in common, either by giving what we have or receiving what someone has for us. I looked up the word in Webster's, and it is a mutual sharing, a group with the same interest. Well, what is our same interest here at Word of Life Church?
Food.
Well, what's number two? What? Christ. Jesus, that's our common interest. Souls. Someone said souls. That's true. Food is right up there, though, but I wouldn't say that that was number one. That's what I get for asking questions from the pulpit. Huh? Are you embarrassed? Fellowship means supporting one another and bearing one another's burdens. To build each other up in a relationship with Jesus. That's what fellowship is all about. And you know what? A lot of fellowship doesn't happen here at church. That's why we have Discipleship Hour. That's why we have Awana. That's why we have Impact Youth. That's why we have Leading Ladies. That's why we have, not a man's thing, Men with a Vision. I just went blank. It's a senior moment. Really, huh? You don't have to agree to everything. Amen. But that's why we have those things for fellowship. So that that's why we have the football game coming up. That's why we have the bike ride to New Mexico and Colorado. Why? All because of fellowship. That's why we go Christmas caroling at Christmas. Well, I don't like the Christmas carol. Well, you know what? It's not about us. It's about giving to people and going through the halls of the nursing homes and the hospitals. People that are shut in and seeing their faces when we go and bring a little Christmas cheer to them because they can't be out and do what we have the opportunity to do. Amen? That's what fellowship is all about. Look at Romans 12, verse 16. Sometimes we get just so rigid and caught up with our own little thing that we can't minister to others the way we should. Romans 12, 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That's a commandment regarding fellowship, regarding fellowship around Christianity. In Acts 1:14, turn there. Acts 1:14. They continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren, fellowshipping with one accord, one mind, single purpose, with one purpose in mind. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Turn there. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other, better than themselves. In other words, we're going to have to die to self, aren't we? Think of the other one. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Turn back to Acts 4. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. What are they talking about? Talking about sharing. Sharing what you have. Sharing what you have. Fellowship is a oneness of purpose and cause. It's setting aside our agenda all for the sake of Christ. Amen? Fellowship is nothing but purpose with focus. That's what fellowship is. It's purpose with focus. It's based on the fact that we live for Jesus and we serve Him. We can't have fellowship if we're in the dark. You know, light and dark don't mix. That's why the Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked together. You know, and a lot of people think that's for marriage, and it is for marriage. But He tells us not to be unequally yoked together because light and dark do not mix. But when people come into the church and we've got to go and let our light shine, we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world, and we've got to go beyond these walls and let people know how much we care for them. And that we were there where they were. This morning you heard Patrick Loader tell of his testimony. He was a young man that was raised in this church since he was a little bitty boy. A little bitty boy. He would come to church on Sunday morning and he was living like hell the rest of the week. I knew him. Knew him well. Went to Oral Roberts University, a Bible school. And then chose a road to destruction. Just before he was killed, literally killed, and ended in hell, he cried out to God. And who did he call? He called Mama, he called Daddy, and he called a lady in the church, Miss Vicky. Why? Because she had ministered to him ever since he was a young boy. She was honest with him. And said, you better turn your life around. You know what is right. He called her. Why? Because he knew she cared. He knew she cared enough to pray for him. And to help him, she also knew he cared enough to tell him the truth. that if you don't turn and repent, you're going to go to hell. Fellowship. It's all a part of it. Amen? Look at Ephesians 2:19. Don't think that relationships that you come across aren't for purpose. They are. Some of you may have been in a spot where you wonder if you've missed God. But you know, you have to trust Him. I talked with somebody the other day and I said, I don't know if I missed God or not. I said, you know what? You may have just been at that place for a season, for a purpose. If nothing else, you learn things from places that you've been that aren't so comfortable. One thing, you learn not to do it anymore. Amen. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. This is talking about unity of believers. We are called to belong, saints, not just to believe. We're called to belong, not just to believe. Now, this morning, I sounded kind of harsh when I said, you know, people can stay out of church, and then suddenly they have a crisis and they expect us to jump. And yes, we're here to help, but you've got to be sincere. People are going to have to want the help. There's no more playing games and no more mocking God. We're beyond that. What we could get by with several years ago, I don't believe we're going to be able to get by with anymore. Because we have heard, and we have heard, and we have heard, and we have heard, and we have heard some more. Now, what are we going to do with what we have heard? What are we going to do with it? We can't be playing games anymore. We're going to have to do what we have been called to do. John Bevere at this conference was a powerful. He preached on Driven by Eternity. He has just written a new book, and he preached, I think, out of the 11th chapter of that. And he said, you know, when we get before the judgment seat, we're not going to be judged on the sins. We're going to be judged on what we have done with what we were asked to do. Wow. He gave examples. He said, Accountant Smith, he was God. He said, Accountant Smith, come before the judgment throne. And he said, what did you do with what I asked you to do? And Accountant Smith said, oh, I took care of missionaries' money. I did their taxes for them. I even sent some money to them every now and then. So I took care of their money. He said, but I called you not to be an accountant. I called you to go to Asia and win 9,849,000 souls. It's all burned up. What are we doing with what God has called us to do? Are we being good stewards? There's no more playing games. There's no more playing games. It's time for us to come into the unity. Into unity in the natural, into the unity of the faith, and get about the Father's business. It's time for relationships to be formed. It's time for relationships for people to be able to minister one to another. You know, last week, Gary Batz said that at one time the triangle was like this. And at the top was what? The pastor. And everything flowed down. But he said that triangle is flip-flopped. And it's like this. The pastor's down here. Why? Because the saints have been equipped. And now we go out and y'all lay hands on the sick. Y'all go to the mission field. Take me with you sometimes because I love it. And do the works of the ministry. But we're going to have to form relationships with one another. We're going to have a relationship with the Father, a strong one, but then we're going to have relationships with another. Strong ties. Everybody needs a best friend. Somebody that you can believe in. Somebody that you can share your heart out to and know that it's not going to be blabbed all over the city. So be careful when you share with people. Amen? We are to be a family. Why? So that we can build up. So that we can encourage. So that we can equip. Why? So purpose can be fulfilled. That's what it's all about. It's like parenting. If we as parents do our job, then we raise our children to be fruitful. And we raise them to be what they need to be. When they fall, we pick them up. We don't just kick them aside, say, you no good thing. What's the matter with you? No, we pick them up. And we encourage them. We pour into them. We build in them. We impart into them so that they can go and make a life for themselves. When our children got married, someone said, oh, weren't you just sick that they moved away? And Brad's in Arkansas and Gail is wherever. Gail was in Oklahoma at that time. And I said, no. Why would I be upset? This is what we trained them to be. This is what we trained them to do. I don't want them living in my house all the time. This is what we trained them to do. So I was happy for them that they've gone and they're prospering and they're making a life for themselves. So what have we been trained to do? We've been trained to do the works of the ministry. Amen? And so that's what we're supposed to be doing. We have got to equip. We've got to bring these new ones in and have fellowship with them. Because like I said, you're not going to get fellowship just on a Sunday morning. Because people come in and then we go out. Then we come back and we go out. That's why we have the football game coming up. Well, I don't like football. Well, get over it. You don't have to like football to go to a football game. You know what? You just need to come together because you like people in the body. You don't have to go and stay for 4 hours until it's over. Go and eat and go home. The fellowship while you're there. Get to know people. You know, there's people. How many of you, look around, how many of you in here do not know everybody in this church? Let me see your hands. Whoa. See about yourself. Go over to these people. This young lady gave me a pedicure one time out at JUCO, just before we went to Africa. Of course. She came to church tonight. Get to know these people. Everybody that raised their hand, you need to get to know who is laboring among you. They may have a need that only you can meet. What if Pastor hadn't have been at the back of that sanctuary at Rhema that night when J.B. Whitfield needed five answers from God? And he had told God, I've got to have these five answers, and if I don't get them, it's over. He's a powerful man of God. You may be the very one that can minister to that one. But you're not going to know it if you're not, can't have fellowship. Amen? So this football game thing. Men, you need to go. Every one of you need to go. You know, I did things as a wife that I learned to play golf. Oh, I didn't know you were a golfer. I'm not. But Pastor, before he got his bike, he liked to play golf, and I wanted to be with him on our day off on Friday. So I thought, well, then the kids had taken junior golf, so I thought, I'm just going to go take golf lessons. Was I good? Absolutely not. My score was real easy to keep, because once it got past 10, we didn't keep score anymore. So we just went down the nine holes and went 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. How many of you know that's not a good golf score for nine holes? 18 maybe, but not 9. But, you know, why did I go? Was it because I had such a love for the game? Not necessarily, but I had a love for him. And I wanted to fellowship with him, and I wanted to be with him. Did I enjoy riding the bike, the motorcycle? I did. It was probably, I would have never begged him to get one. In fact, I was shocked when he said we were going to go get one. I said, we're going to do what? I thought he was going through a midlife crisis. In fact, that's what I told him. I called his first motorcycle the MLT. That meant midlife toy. I said, where are you going on the MLT today? Because he had never wanted one and had told Brad, you better not ever get a motorcycle. And then one day we got up and he said, Mama, we're going to Syracuse. And I said, oh, really? Why? He said, well, I'm going to look at a motorcycle. I said, you were going to do what? And guess what? The reason he wanted me to go with him is because I drove the car home and he rode the bike home. So we bought it. He took the checkbook. Now, that was not anything that I would have begged him to do, but you know what? I went. Why? Because I wanted fellowship with him. When he said, "Mama, let's go get a Coke," I knew we were headed to Scott City on the bike. That's where we went and got a Coke. Why? Did I really enjoy it? Could I really talk with him? No, but I was with him. There was a communion. Just because I was on the back of that bike with him, and we sat at the Dairy Queen at Scott City, and we would visit. I didn't always want to do everything he wanted to do, but I did it because I wanted to spend time with him. He didn't always want to do everything I wanted to do, but he did it because he wanted to spend time with me. We don't always want to do what the Father asks us to do, prayer, but we do it. Why? So we can commune and fellowship with him. We don't always want to go to the football game, but we do it. Why? Because other brothers are going to be there, and we want to commune and fellowship with them. We don't always want to come to Leading Ladies because we're tired, but we come. Why? Because we want to fellowship with one another. It's a natural side of ministry, and it's so important. I want to tell you something. There's a group that goes out to Taco Bell on Sunday nights. Taco Bell? What's so exciting about Taco Bell? Fellowship. Shelby, you're on the food. I hope you go out there and get food tonight. You must be hungry. It's not that their tacos are so great or their burritos or their chalupas, but you find out about people. You know, after church, somebody would say, "Hey, Pastor, you're going to the bell? Are y'all going?" "Yeah, I'll be out there." You don't always eat anything. Sometimes I just have something to drink, but it's just a time of fellowship. Sometimes there's other people. There used to be a group from the assembly out there. We fellowship with them. Sometimes there's a group from the Nazarene church. That's what we do on Sunday night. "Well, I'm just going to go home." Well, then just go home and be an old stick in the mud then. But when you go out in fellowship, then you get to know people. Well, what do you get to know about them? You get to know what they like. You get to know their dislikes. You just get to know what they're doing. What's their week like? You come into fellowship with them. You just commune with them. That's a natural side of ministry. And then if you ever have a need, you might say, "Oh, I remember one night we were at Taco Bell, and Brother Mark was out there, and he mentioned something. I bet he can help me with this need." See? That's what it's all about. And then when new ones are coming in to the church, "Hey, we're all going to the bell tonight. Why don't you go out and let's have a taco?" They get to just fellowship with us. Amen? "Well, I've never been invited." Well, you're invited. You're invited. Now, we don't need as a church to get so petty about stuff. "Well, I got my feelings hurt because I wasn't invited. And you know, everybody went out there, but I didn't go." Well, you're invited to the bell tonight after service. Dutch treat. You know what that means? Everybody pays for their own. Amen? Fellowship. It's all a part of fellowship. Do I go every time? No. Sometimes I'm tired. I just want to go home, have things to do. A lot of times I'll go out there for 30, 40 minutes and go home. Fellowship. All a part of fellowship. All a part of the ministry. It's what it is. It's all a part of the ministry. Amen? We have got to get to know one another. It's easy for us to have surface talk. "Oh, how are you?" "Fine." "How are you?" "Good." "It's a pretty dress." "Thank you." "Is it new?" "No." "Where did you get it?" Surface talk. And that's the way fellowship starts. But then we've got to get in there to the brass tacks. You know, people come into my office, and if they're not open with me, I cannot help them. I'm not a mind reader. I have discernment in areas, but if they are not open with me, then I cannot help them. How many of you have dandelions growing up in your yard? We have some. You can chop them off. And what happens? They grow back. I was raised on a farm. I hoed cotton after my freshman year in college, got smart enough, thought, "I'm not going home. I'm just going to go to school all summer. Because if I go home, I'm going to be at the other end of that hoe handle." And we have a weed down there. Pastor Jeff always called it a peculiar weed, but it's called a careless weed. It's what we call them. I don't know what it's called, but we called it a careless weed. And Pastor Jeff came down for Daddy's funeral, and he learned a lot about West Texas on that short trip that he was there. See, we're back to food. They eat whole chickens, he said. My mother sent food home with him, and it was a bunch of chickens. But anyway, we won't tell you everything that he saw, like pictures on the wall. Oh, my goodness. You know, sometimes you just don't want Pastor Jeff. He probably shouldn't have just come. You know, if you want to live in peace the rest of your life, he probably just should have stayed up here and prayed for me instead of seeing pictures of my senior year on the walls of our house and what have you. But anyway, Phil was a part of all this fellowship. Think of what he missed out on if he had have stayed here. But we had these careless weeds, and they have a big stem. And so my brother, older brother Rusty, hated the farm. I was so glad when he left home because he hated the farm, and all he did was gripe. And my two brothers and I were required to work on it. And so I would beg Daddy, "Daddy, please let Russ drive the tractor. But don't put him out to hoe with me, please." Because he would just go through there like a goose looking for thunder, and then he'd feel weed, and he would chop it, and then here we go. And we always had to go back and redo it. Well, I would pull the careless weeds because they were real easy to pull. I'd get them right down by the dirt, and I'd pull on those things, and they'd come up root and all. Smart. Why? Because I'd never have to hoe that field again. But my brother just chop them off, the ones that he didn't leave. And then a week later, Daddy said, "Well, y'all are going to have to go back out there and hoe that field." And so finally, I asked Daddy if Russ could just drive the tractor and let me hoe, and I would keep the field clean, because I knew if I did that, they wouldn't come back up all the time. Now, I say that to say this. It's the same with spiritual things. When we commune and when we fellowship with God, or with one another, and we're looking for answers with one another, with your friend, or with a Pastor Jeff who is counseling, or myself, we're going to have to get to the root of the problem, or that thing is going to continue to resurface. We're going to have to be honest. Have to be honest. Because if you just chop it off, you know, some people have a problem with anger. There is a root to that anger. And it's not just because my wife made me mad or my husband made me mad. No, there's a root there that goes deeper. And we've got to get to the root of that in order for us to have true fellowship. In order for God to create within us clean and pure hearts so that we can come into His throne room and we can fellowship and worship Him with clean hands and pure hearts. And then we can have fellowship one with another. Amen? But again, I warn you, be careful who you share things with. Be careful who you share things with. You need a friend. Everybody in here needs a friend. We can't just keep pulling the rug over issues in life and thinking that all is going to be better. We can't keep doing that because we're just sweeping it under the rug and things are always going to resurface if we don't deal with it. Amen? Fellowship. It's a very important part of purpose for us personally and for us corporately as a church. Fellowship is one thing that people are going to be attracted to. And the reason you have to get to the root of issues in life is because hurting people will hurt people. And if we are hurting, those things are always going to resurface. And then we're not going to be able to deal with people and minister to them and set them free the way they need to be free. They need to be coming into this place. They need to totally be set free in Jesus' name. But if we aren't free ourselves, then how can we minister life to someone else and then be totally free? It won't happen. Now, what does this all have to do? It all has to do with purpose. That's fellowshipping with Him and with one another. When we incorporate true fellowship into our life, then there's going to be a communion with God and with each other that is going to take place that's beyond anything we've ever experienced. But it's going to have to come from clean hearts and pure hands. Nothing can be hidden in this hour. if we want what we say we want. We've got to come clean with God. We're going to have to surrender all. Well, some things I can't share. Then go to God and share those things. Go to God, but get it out. Fellowship. Our cry should be, God, create within me a clean heart. Create within me a clean and pure heart, O God. So that when we come into our prayer closet, we can fellowship and there's no hindrances at all with Him. And then we can come into this place and we can have fellowship one with another. And then we can go beyond these walls and bring people in. Why? Because they see a difference in us. They will want what we have. They may have known you when they knew Patrick in the world. They may have known you when you professed one thing and lived another. But when you allow God to create a clean and pure heart within you, then people are going to see a change. There's no more mocking in this hour. We don't have time. God will not be mocked. There is no time for that. We have got to come into His presence. We have got to learn to fellowship with Him and then put our flesh aside. Well, it's uncomfortable for me. I don't like to be around crowds. I'm not saying you have to go to everything that there ever is. We're busy people. I know that. But that communion with God, that fellowship with Him has to be first. And then it is so very important. I hate to think where I would be had I not had the fellowship of a church. I hate to think it. Not just me, but many of you. I'd hate to think where Marlena would be if she did not have the fellowship of a church when she's down on the mission field. We need each other. It's time to break out of our comfort zones. Introduce ourselves to people that we don't know. Go to the bell. Have a taco. Drink some water. Drink some pop. And fellowship one with another. And we can't do that if we don't have a strong fellowship and relationship with the Father. Amen? It just won't happen. Why? Because basically we're selfish people. We're self-centered. We like things my way. We have to give and take. Why I played golf? Because I wanted to spend time with Pastor. Why I rode the motorcycle? I wanted to spend time with Pastor. Oh, I had other things that I probably would have rather done, but it was all a part of fellowship. It's the same in natural as it is with the spiritual. We need to break out of our molds, break out of our comfort zones, and form relationships in this hour. Amen? Because there's going to come a time that we're really going to need each other more so than we do right now. We've got to have it. We've got to have it. Amen? Do you believe it? Do you agree? Will you do it? Amen. Let's stand. Next week, we will not have evening service next week. It's the day before Labor Day. And we just take a break during that time. Really, what prompted that was not very many people came. Nobody wanted to come. A lot of times the people are out of town. That's their last fleeing before Thanksgiving. And so we will have Sunday morning service. I will be ministering again on fulfilling purpose, fulfilling your purpose. And I think it's going to be discipleship next week. And so we want you to come. How many of you are going to be here next week? Good. If you're going, have a safe trip. Wherever you're going, be safe. People are crazy sometimes on the road. Amen? So you have to watch. You have to pray. You have to have been in the presence of God so you can discern things. I don't know how many times we would be driving down the road and Pastor would say, there's a deer up here. I knew his eyes were good, but they weren't that good. And we'd top a hill, and sure enough, there was a deer, or three or four right in the middle of the road. Through the Holy Ghost. shows you those things. But it's not going to happen if you've not been in His presence. If you've not been communing with Him. If you've not been in fellowship with Him. And you top that hill and run into those deer, and uh-oh, you may see Jesus face to face. It's a price to pay for it. It's all a part of purpose. Amen? Worship team. Father, we come to You now in Jesus' name, and we're thankful, Lord, for this time that we've had together. I thank You, Father, that this is a body that desires You more than we desire our own agenda, more than we desire our own way. I pray, Father God, that every one of us would learn to worship You in spirit and in truth, that we would learn to worship You with our whole being, and then, Lord, that we would come into communion with You and with saints, with others in the body of Christ, that we would form relationships in the natural, in this place, so that people could see that we love and care for one another, and that the harvest would come into this place. People are looking in this hour, Lord, for a safe harbor. They're looking for a place where they can come and be cared for and to be loved. So, Father, I thank You that as You deal with each and every one of our hearts concerning purpose, concerning worship, and concerning fellowship, Lord God, that we would get things right in our own hearts and in our own lives so that we truly could let our light shine beyond these four walls. And I thank You and I praise You for that. If there's anyone here with every head bowed, if there's anyone here that has never accepted Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior, now is the time. We would ask that you would simply raise your hand and we're going to pray for you. Is there anyone at all? And I pray that everyone is saved. In this place, at this time, for purpose and for such a time as this. All has to do with eternity, eternal purpose. Not just the here and now. There's a plan that God has for us if we will simply obey Him. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And we'll see you on Wednesday.